And welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Dan Fernandez.
I'm Larry Larson.
Larry, glad to have you here. You know,
I'm happy to be here.
Keller is in, apparently, tech ed hell.
Really?
So, yes.
That's funny, because I'm also working on tech ed.
Oh, great. Great. Yeah. I am, too.
But here I am.
Yes. Funny how that works. Hey, let's get right into it. So, this one's pretty excited. Lang.next.
So, yeah, this is going to be an event that Charles Story will be at, and our own Golnaz is going to be heading out there with the camera. They're going to record a lot of these sessions and get them up, but it's it's a conference on programming languages that, you know, happens every couple years, and
I think it's pretty cool.
Charles always talks about how great this conference is.
And Eric Meyer's on the list and a number of well-known language folks, so it should definitely be a fun one. Yep. Now, what was the date? Did you have it?
She's leaving next week, right? Is that when you're going, Golnaz? May 28th?
May 28th.
All right.
Awesome.
So it's not next week, but there you have it.
Yeah. So next story, .NET native performance and internals. So super deep post. This is Sasha Goldstein, goes through a lot of the details in terms of all the things that happen when you're compiling your code or compiling to, say, Project N. Mm-hmm. Some of the other stuff that we do for compilation in the cloud, Project Triton, all the things that they do to optimize their code, the not just IL, MDIL, which is the, I think it's the device agnostic, I forget exactly. Exactly.
You're pointing at me.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like you're
going to know. Yeah. And everything that kind of happens in terms of this process and the tools. So really deep dive into the performance and internals.
Cool.
Cool stuff.
All right.
And
up
speaking
next,
of the .NET framework.
Yeah, this was kind of a defrag tools-ish kind of post here. So this is introducing the Microsoft .NET Framework Repair Tool.
Yes.
So if you have problems with .NET, if it gets corrupt, if you someone uninstalled something, you don't know what's going on with that, great tool here that you can install and determine what it is that's causing the problem and repair it.
Yeah, which is great. I mean, it's you know, a lot of folks, we run into this and we didn't really have a great way to do it. Aaron Stebner, guy had like some tools, but it was like his personal one. This is kind of like the official .NET framework tool, and it'll kind of look at what stuff you're missing, and again, not just diagnose, but also fix, which is awesome. So definitely a must-have.
Very cool.
Edge.js adds support for Linux and Mac OS X, so C# and Node.js can run anywhere. So the idea behind Edge.js is I have my world of Node, mm-hmm. and things are going on. It's processing, doing things. And then I have my .NET world, right? .NET world does some cool things easier or better, or, you know, the classic example is you want them to talk to each other.
Yeah.
That's what Edge does. It enables a way for Node and .NET Framework to basically talk and send messages between each other.
Mm-hmm.
So this is super cool. The fact that somebody's done this is awesome.
Yeah.
So like if you're in Node.js, you want to talk to a database, that's a lot easier to do, say, with ADO.NET.
Mm-hmm.
You can go ahead and do that there and then communicate back.
Very cool.
For folks using Node and .NET, this is now the happy communication path.
Yeah. So this is a case of slow Visual Studio startup, another one that's kind of defraggish.
Yeah.
This is something Andrew and I talk about this all the time, and we have a couple of different shows on determining what can cause something to start up slowly, how to troubleshoot that, how to fix it, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
This is a case of someone who had a 2-second start time when using an SSD, but had another machine on Windows 7 that was taking 13 seconds. And
that's pretty large diff there.
It
13
is.
Seconds is like, okay, I'm gonna go get coffee at this point. After six
really?
Seconds.
13 seconds? That doesn't seem like the longest wait. I mean, I don't know. I'm used to waiting for Premiere to open up and.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
didn't know
it
we
can
were...
take quite a long time on a slow machine.
But if you're used to 2 seconds,
yeah,
it's such a huge difference
it is,
between
yeah.
going back and forth.
Yeah.
So this tool basically does the stuff to help you find out what's going on?
Yes. Yep.
Cool. Mm-hmm. I love it. I need it already.
There you have it.
So another one. This is somebody kind of does the personal view on, and this is a developer that's been using Jira On Demand, Bitbucket, SourceTree. And then try some of the ALM tools and how easy it is to get started with Visual Studio Online. Mm-hmm. And again, it's also free because it's I think it's less than 5 developers. You can get Git, you get Visual Studio, and it all seemed pretty awesome. So he was
using
Mongo.
There's been a lot of articles like this lately where it's like everyone's taking a second look and saying, "This is there's actually good things here." And
yeah.
I like that. Yeah, it's almost like a corner got turned or something.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Exactly. As we overuse the marketing turns. But yeah. This is actually cool to see. So I love stories like this. And again, kind of people giving their real experience in terms of getting started. Because even there's some things where I look at it like, wow, we could have probably improved this or this.
Yep.
So it's time for a pick of the week.
Pick of the week time.
So my pick of the week is it is now 50 years of BASIC.
Yeah.
If you can believe that. So
I saw that was coming up and I thought, man, I wish I would have done something now on Channel 9 for it, but I didn't. So don't go looking for that.
Yeah, we should. I mean, you still have.
Should have interviewed
next
someone.
Week.
There's got to be someone here at Microsoft who
worked on BASIC.
Coding on this and back in 64. So.
64, man.
Yeah. That's crazy.
That's crazy. So I had my personal BASIC story because I learned to program, did some programming with BASIC, and had some of the books where you like copied code in.
Yeah.
And then I had a situation where there's the classic 10 print hello and then 20 go to 10.
Yeah.
So you can actually do things like send it to the printer using LPT1.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I insulted somebody in high school and sent it to all the printers in the lab.
Yeah.
And the teacher didn't know what the hell was going on.
Yeah.
I got in trouble with the principal and it was me and another friend and they were like, who did it? He pulled us into a separate room and he's like giving us, and this is like classic like New Yorker guy, he's like, which one of you did this? I want to know which one of you did this. And my friend instantly goes, it was Dan! He did it!
Oh,
go.
Rat.
Yeah, he goes out of the room and he's like, I need to talk to you alone. And he goes up to me, never rat on your friends. You're free to go.
Nice.
I was like,
very
really?
Nice.
And that's where I learned, wow, this computer programming thing is awesome, and never rat on your friends.
Yeah, exactly. Well, my first job was doing BASIC too, and it was on a Commodore 64, just like this. So it was good times. I was working for a mortgage broker, and part time when I was in high school.
You actually got paid to write BASIC.
I did.
Yeah,
I did. It was awesome.
That's awesome.
And so, and I was like the only one in the entire company that knew anything. I was the only one that could turn on the Commodore 64. So
it made me
feel special, and it was awesome.
So send us your favorite BASIC stories, because we definitely want
to
hear them. And on to your pick of the week.
Yeah, my pick of the week, and this is a little embroidery. I don't know if you know, I'm a big fan of embroidery. And
okay.
So, yeah, no, I'm just kidding. But someone did an embroidered map of ARPANET, and so this is kind of insane. It looks just like ARPANET. It's a spitting image.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of awesome. I want the blanket now.
Yeah, it's designed, it almost looks like a beanbag or something that you could do.
When we start our gang, this should be what's on the back of our jackets.
Oh, are we getting matching jackets?
Yeah, we'll be.
That's going to be
those
awesome.
Guys
yeah,
walking
I can't.
Walking around Microsoft with the ARPANET on the back of our embroidered
jackets. I can't
jackets.
Wait to get beat up.
Yeah,
that sounds great.
That'll be awesome. So yeah, and my ARPANET story is I went to university for a short period of time.
Yeah.
And everyone there, all the students, when you joined, it was the first college where everyone was on the net. And at the time, it was ARPANET.
Okay.
And so all the students would get these dumb terminals. And so you'd take your VT100 back to your room. And the first thing you'd do is get on the equivalent of the school's OKCupid, which was a nightmare.
The school's OKCupid.
Yeah.
I love this. And what time frame are we talking here? What year around this?
It was back then. It was late 80s. It was no pictures.
Computers to find foxes, if you will.
Exactly. And so it was like no pictures, self-described. That doesn't work. And so, yeah, it was.
It still doesn't work today, even with pictures.
Work, no.
I was like, that is Photoshop.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was horrible. It was a nightmare. But it was ARPANET, and it was interesting. It was the next big thing, of course.
Isn't it funny how, God, so if it was like 80s, that could have been, what is that, 30 years ago? People still doing the same thing?
Yeah.
Still doing the same
thing.
The
more things change, the more things stay the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's classic.
Still people that are dejected and sad by their results of their using the internet today.
Yes, some things will never change.
Yeah, yeah. And just so you know, 30 years from now, it will not be better.
Yeah, 30 years from now, there'll still be Forever Alone or whatever it is at that time. So cool. All right, well, thanks, Larry. And thanks.
You.
We'll see you guys next week.